Angels. People can find them anywhere. Some people see angels where others see empty spaces. Let them paint angels, said John Ruskin, and so they have. Angels are often in paintings, and they're in dreams and visions too. Visionary poet William Blake saw angels in a tree in Peckham Rye. Storytellers tell of them being seen in the killing fields of the First World War and on the beaches of Dunkirk in the Second World War. Now they flood the internet too. Whole websites document meetings with angels. Strangers appearing at the door in a time of crisis, shining figures hovering over a sick bed. It's part of a general resurgence of belief in spiritual mystery. In spite of the Enlightenment, cracks of unpredictability keep opening up in our universe, and renewed belief in angels is part of it, perhaps especially in an age of anxiety, an age seeking reassurance. What do we make of it? Skeptical rationalists are scathing about it, as they are about all religious experience. How could anyone seriously still believe in angels? But there's also skepticism, a proper skepticism, about strange religious experiences, actually within Christian faith. As G.K. Chesterton warned, a disposition to believe strange things is not necessarily a sign of firm faith. It's just as likely a sign that we've lost touch with the true God and we're filling the vacuum with our own inventions instead. Our interpretations of strange experiences are, after all, notoriously unreliable, aren't they? So often they derive not so much from the experience itself, but on predispositions we've inherited from an entirely different place, from elsewhere. So a member of a charismatic cult in California naturally takes his experience to be an angel, whereas an astrologist with the same experience believes her message to come through the stars. A Catholic sees it as the Virgin Mary, and an atheist puts it down to indigestion. What then, if anything, really is it? Is it anything, really? This isn't for one moment to deny people have strange and wonderful experiences, but it is a warning not to overinterpret them and perhaps not to rest our faith on them. So perhaps we shouldn't set too much store on any special private experience of angels or anything else. But perhaps what we should do is take very seriously experiences which have been more publicly tested, especially those recorded in the biblical tradition, which have stood the test of time, where we find something, in fact, much more profound and much more compelling than odd bits of private experience, where we find genuine new perspectives on the mysteries of God and eternity and how God really does relate to this mysterious world. Angels, we find in those biblical traditions, were originally understood as creatures made by God for an entirely different heavenly eternal realm existing before human history, at the dawn of time and before time, when the world was created. Creatures of God who, as the book of Job poetically puts it, sang with the morning stars to actually help this new creation come into being and sing its praises to its creator. We also find they were understood, once the world was created, as God's messengers to this created world, a sort of projection of God's presence and guidance in our world, but in a less overwhelming way than God's full presence might be. So when, for example, angels of the Lord's presence appeared to Abraham at the Oaks of Mamre, he actually entertained them unawares that they were angels. Later we find these messengers of God were also given special names and roles in their dealings with people and nations. Israel's angel was called Michael, and a rebel angel permitted by God to roam and test the world, though never fully to control it, was called Satan. But finally, in this tradition, and crucially, we find that all these stories and traditions of angels were transformed when Christ came. Their messages all began to coalesce and cluster around him. When Christ came, angels came to announce his birth, to guard him from Herod, to test him in the wilderness, to strengthen him in Gethsemane. And so we begin to see what's happening. We see that Christ himself actually fulfills all the roles previously ascribed to angels. It's Christ who was actually the chief co-creator of the world at the dawn of time. It's the public historical figure of Jesus Christ who was and is the clearest way God projects himself into the world without overwhelming us. It is Jesus himself who is the most reliable message from God and revelation of God's presence and guidance. He is the best bridge between God and humankind, the critical joint between eternity and time, heaven and earth. Exactly as we heard in our readings, Jacob had dreamt of angels on a ladder between heaven and earth. Jesus now tells Nathanael that these angels actually ascend and descend on him. He is the ladder. All true communication between heaven and earth is through him. And so that, I suggest, is the real bedrock for us in this mystifying and anxious world. The best way to interpret any strange, special experience, moral, spiritual experience, is always to test it against what we know of Christ. Whatever the claim, whether it seems to come from the stars, the sunset, yoga, or an angel, test it against the historical public reality of what we know of God in the life and teaching of Christ. If the message of the vision fits that pattern of Christ, receive it gratefully, wherever it's supposed to have come from. If not, if it doesn't, be wary. Only if something finds a foothold on the ladder of Christ can we be sure it is truly of God. And incidentally, and what this bedrock of Christ also means, is that actually we shouldn't worry if in fact we don't have any unusual visions or experiences at all. We don't need them. The point is, all we really need to know, about God and life has already been given in Christ. Angels, just empty spaces we fill our imagination with in anxious times, perhaps. But at their best and truest, something much more real and much more secure, angels are this tradition to remind us that God really does speak. He does communicate in many ways. There is a bridge between time and eternity. But above all, reminding us where we will most reliably hear him and meet him. And that is always in the life and teaching of Jesus Christ. Thanks be to God.